You want a bigger, let me give Zach a big introduction, okay? Well, Zach Vernon is the co-assistant pastor of the Sunday school teacher at the Living Waters Baptist Church. There's a whole bunch of Baptist churches in Knoxville, North Carolina. Some of them run in the hundreds and hundreds of people, and they lead 100 people a week to the Lord. Zach does not go to that church. But Zach does go to a church where I believe the power of God is there because they believe the word of God. Well, Zach's going to preach for us tonight. Amen. Happy.
Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I was just sitting back there earlier thinking about this, that almost every infidel that there's ever been, you go down the list of people like Charles Darwin, grew up religious. Go, the guy Lewis Carroll, who wrote the book Alice in Wonderland, he was just a reprobate of a person, molested little kids, you know, like little children and things like that. Grew up religious. The problem is, they're all religious, but they didn't have Jesus Christ living on the inside. Percy Ray, I was reading his biography to my wife the other day about his salvation testimony and everything, how he grew up and he come down to the altar and they told him if he'll get baptized and join the church, he'll be saved. Well, he baptized him, put him in the church, and they told him that he was saved. He went to Bible college. You know, he preached, was a pastor, and all these different things. Well, he had a preacher come in. They were holding a meeting, and the preacher began to preach a salvation message, and a man came down to the altar and said he needed to be saved. Well, Percy Ray was dealing with him, and Percy Ray said, well, we're gonna, you know, stand you up. We'll vote you into the church. We'll baptize you. And that person said, I don't need to just join the church to be baptized. I need to get born again. And he went on, you know, after that, he stood up in front of his church and said, well, if that's not salvation, if being baptized and not joining the church isn't salvation, then what I have isn't salvation. I don't have 100% assurance. I've never had any of that, but I've been baptized. I've joined the church. They said, that's not what salvation is. He went back to his church. They began to talk to him and discuss this thing of salvation, but he went back to his church. And people that ordained him, his pastor and all that had ordained him, he began to ask him if salvation was a thing, you know, where you didn't know about it and how he had not really been saved. And he took his ordination papers. They said, well, some people just, they have their doubts and some people just have their questions. He said, well, if that's the God that you serve, I don't want him. And you and your religion can go to hell. That's what he said. He went out and went to Bible college and everything else, and a preacher would come to knock on his door while he was in college, he'd shoot at him. Came bitter. His college professor stood up one day and told about how almost every person that had become an infidel sat in a good Christian home, but they did not have Jesus Christ living on the inside. You see a lot of that stuff going on in the world today. I just felt like the Lord would have me to say that. A lot of people rebel against God and reject God. They get up in age and they think it's all just a big joke and everything else. It's because they never had anything on the inside. It's the problem. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And that's all that I'm going to read. Here within this context, you read in verse 1 that the Bible says here in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And it goes on, and I believe with all my heart that's dealing with the subject of the government that's involved, the powers that be that are ordained of God. And I believe the Bible is trying to tell us here, first off, that you ought to honor the government. You ought to honor the police officers. You ought to honor your military. You ought to honor those people. And the thing about it is this, you look at the President of the United States of America, you may not agree with him, you may not like him, you may think he's a reprobate, you may think all those things, but God put him in the White House.
That's right.
The powers that be are ordained of God. God put him there. Whether to be a judgment upon the nation, whether to be a blessing upon the nation.
Right.
But God put him there. And he said they're not a terror to good works, but to the evil. So therefore, you must look at it in that sense, ladies and gentlemen, that you may have a crooked government, you may have all that, but it's the judgment of God. It's God trying to open the eyes of people to show them that they need to get right with God. And that's one thing God does. God will begin to give you rulers to make evil laws whenever he brings his judgment upon you. And the Bible says that they're ministers of God. They're ministers of God. And the Bible says that they... they are continually, let me find it here for a second, verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. So ladies and gentlemen, they're ministers of God. The Bible said that they're a revenger to execute wrath. Police officers, things like that. But God put them in order to be that. And let me tell you something. Our police officers ought to bow down and thank God for his protection on their life. And they ought to thank God because they are ministers of God.
Amen.
We've raised a generation that have sit around and listen to music to teach them to hate God and to hate authority and to hate the government. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something today. God put those police officers there. And they're there for your benefit. The Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way. That's what he said. And ladies and gentlemen, they are there for our good. They're not for the evil, but they're there for the good. They're revengers to execute wrath. And you look through the Old Testament, there you'll find a revenger of blood. Whenever a man murdered a man on purpose or whether it be of accident, the one that did it on accident or whatever, they could go. If a man murdered a man, they could find the city of refuge. But there was a revenger of blood, and if they did not flee the city of refuge, he would hunt them down, and he would have them killed. And that's what they did. And you go through the book of Romans, he said that those people that do such things are worthy of death. Not only them that do them, but they that have pleasure in them that do them. And we see that God gives us the government to judge, to make judgments on people's guilt and things like that. You'll find how God set that up in the Old Testament. The mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, and a man would be put to death at the mouth of two or three witnesses. And God set them in order. The powers that be are ordained of God. Acts 23, verse 5. Apostle Paul said, speak not against the rulers of thy people. Speak not evil against the rulers of thy people. That's what he said. And speak not evil against them. Why? Because they're not terrors to the evil, or to the good, but to the evil. That's why they're there. And the Bible says, me and my wife, we were discussing this very matter. She began to study this out, and she looked and she found a verse that said, if you will fear the Lord and keep his commandments, then shall your king fear the Lord and keep his commandments. Keep my commandments.
Amen.
if you'll fear the Lord, and if you'll keep His commandments, about every president we've had, probably in the United States of America, there's been corruption behind them. About every one of them. The only reason why it hasn't completely flooded our nation is there's been times when revivals would hit. There's been times when people feared God. The only reason why it's getting as bad as it is because that's what this country wants.
That's right.
That's what this nation wants. They want hell. They want socialism. They want communism. That's what they want. And they're getting exactly what they want. But ladies and gentlemen, you mark this thing today. People rioting in the streets against police officers, you mark it down, it's of the devil. It's of the devil. God told you to honor them. God told you to pay, give tribute to whom tribute, honor to whom honor, fear to whom fear. And children, you mark this one thing today, that God wants you to respect the police officers and God wants you to honor them. And if you're doing the right things and you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're abiding by the word of God and you're keeping His commandments and you're living clean, you won't have any problem hating the police officers. You just won't. I have people in my family, they sit around because they're on drugs. They hate cops. They hate them. Why? Because they're on drugs. They love their drugs. And they've been brought up to hate them. And whenever you see them out on the roads and people get mad because they see a police officer because he's behind them or whatever else. And ladies and gentlemen, thank God there's police officers to stop you.
Amen.
Thank God there's police officers to give you a ticket, tell you you're going too fast because you might kill somebody. There's a guy I went to school with. His dad just got a brand new Charger whenever they first started coming out again. His dad had a brand new white Charger, and he let his son take it for the day, which was a problem. Son got out there on the interstate going 140 miles an hour, and everybody wants to blame it on the cops. It's all the cops' fault. He was out there running 140 miles an hour out there on the interstate. Ladies and gentlemen, the police officers are there for the good. The Bible tells you to honor them. Bible tells you to honor them. He said, give tribute to whom tribute. You ought to pay your taxes. You ought to do those sort of things. Let me tell you something. The people that were in authority in Jesus Christ's day, I can guarantee you this, I'd probably rather be under the president that we're under than whom he was under. I probably would rather be under who we're under today. Jesus Christ never spoke one evil thing about those rulers. But they tried to come to him about paying the taxes and everything else. He showed up that coin and it had the face of Caesar on it. He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but unto God the things that are God's.
Right.
That's, ladies and gentlemen, that's what Jesus Christ would have you to do.
Good.
Second off, I want you to know this, that you're supposed to have honor for your masters. And in that sense, what I mean is, he said the servants, so they ought to obey their masters and things like that. Whenever you have a boss out there in the world, and you know, a lot of times we want to rise up against our bosses, and I've seen people cuss their bosses and get mad at their bosses and everything else, but God put them there in your life. You're supposed to, you want to get paid, you want to have a job, you're going to have to submit to people. If you don't, get out and learn a trade, learn how to open up a business on yourself if you don't want to submit to them. But the Bible tells you to, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. The Bible says, servants, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. That's what he said. He said you ought to do it with the fear of God, not to be man pleasers, but that you might please God. Why? Because God put that authority in your life. God put that authority in your life. Let me tell you something, that's a big problem that we have in our churches and everything else. Like you said, people want to shine. People want to be seen. People want to please men. But not too many people want to please God. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll have a lot of people hate you. If you would just want to please God and you try to obey this word, I've learned it as a parent, to try to raise your child to just be a decent human being, you can get more hell from your family. Not even be a Christian. Not even be a godly person. But just to be a decent human being, You'll catch more hell from the people in this world than you could ever imagine. But if you're trying to please God, you're not always going to please everybody. That's why the Bible said, woe unto him when all men speak well of you. But a lot of people, they want to please men instead of please God. He said, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not answering again. The Bible says, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Let as many servants as there are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. I believe with all my heart that you ought to be a Christian on the work out of the workplace. We have people in here that work. We have people in here that go out and that have jobs and everything else. I believe you ought to be a Christian at the workplace. One of the worst ways to be an example of a Christian at the workplace is to undermine the authority and sit around and run and cuss and run your mouth about your boss, run your mouth about authority. It's probably one of the worst ways to be a Christian out in the workplace.
Right.
Probably one of the worst ways. And he said, honor your masters. Obey them. Listen to them. Take heed to what they say. Do what they ask you to do. We have a generation of people that don't like to work, don't like to get their hands dirty, don't like to do certain things like that, don't want to spend extra hours working, don't want to spend any time doing anything that they don't want to do. They want to do exactly what they want to do. They don't want to go the extra mile. They don't want to do anything like that. We've raised a lazy generation. I'm guilty of it a lot of times, but I'm telling you, we have raised a lazy generation of people that don't know how to work, that don't know how to go out and labor, that don't know how to work with their hands. I believe that our preachers in this country ought to know how to work. I believe that Harold Seidler, he said it, that he used to tell his missionaries and everybody else, he said, you want support from everybody else, and you evangelists, you want to go out and get supported by everybody else. You want to go plant a church, and you want to sit there, and you want to be served by everybody else and be supported. He said, when you go plant a church, you ought to go get a job. You ought to be able to work with your hands. You ought to provide for your family. Right. He said, and it's just the way it is. It'll do you good to do some work from time to time. It'll do you good. It'll do you good to sweat from time to time. Sweat out some of those impurities that you've been eating. Be good for you. Well, there's a brother Allen, he tells a story about his neighbor. He said, some of these people have problem with the sausage. They say it kills you when you're a young age, eating pork and eating all this stuff. And he said, I had a neighbor, ate every morning, would eat sausage and bacon and ham and gravy and just greasy stuff. He said it finally got him at about 105. That's what he said. He said it because he'd go out and work and he'd sweat them impurities out. That's what he said. It'd do good. It'd do you some good to get out and work. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you shouldn't get mad because they ask you to do something. You shouldn't answer them again because they've asked you to do something. But you ought to be glad that God's given you a job that you can work with your hands and provide for your families. There's a lot of countries out there in this world where it's not that easy. They're not able to just go out and get a job and be able to make a lot of money. They'd be glad to be in your shoes. That's why a lot of these Mexicans are coming up out of Mexico so they can come up here with their families and work. They're not coming over here to do all this bunch of nonsense. The ones that are selling drugs are on the border, mad as can be, because they're legalizing marijuana and they're not making an extra $10 million a year. They're here ready to work. It's what they come here to do. You ought to be able to work. You ought to listen to your bosses. He said, obey your masters. Did you all also honor your father and mother? Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. I remember when I was a kid, Some of the kids that I see do things, and they say things to their parents that I've never said to my parents. I've been scared to death to say to my parents. Some people can get things by on their mom because she's the weaker vessel and they know she ain't going to do anything. That didn't work at my house. It didn't work at my house. I remember one time when my mom was there and she went to go get her hair done and all this different stuff, and we had to sit there and we all acted up and everything else, and we went home. She told my dad it wasn't good. Why? Because she told us to stop. And we didn't. I'm just telling you the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. You ought to honor your parents. And when they tell you to do something, you ought to listen. I don't care how stupid they are. I don't care how wrong you may think they are. The Bible said that you ought to honor them and you ought to obey them. That's what it says. Honor your father and mother. I don't care how crazy they are. I don't care if they tell you to do things that you absolutely hate. You ought to obey your parents. You ought to do it. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. He said this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You want to know what's right? Children, obeying your parents is right. Obeying your parents. "Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment, "with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." May be well with thee. May be well with thee. Let me tell you something. The way you act as a child, you mark this one thing down, you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. I know people in my family, they reaped hell when they were children, and they got some hell. And they grew up. Then they sit around and wonder why, and they had all the light that was given to them. They had all the preachers that they had, and they wanted to go out and commit fornication. They wanted to go out and do drugs. They wanted to go out and do all this different stuff. And now you look at them in their age now, and their lives are, their children are driving them absolutely nuts. I have an aunt. She was as wild as could be when she was growing up. I mean, why, she would run away from home. This was one of my mom's sisters. She'd run away from home. She'd hitchhike from Raleigh back to Winston-Salem. She'd hitchhike from Charlotte. She'd hitchhike to Atlanta. She'd do all this stuff. But now she's reaping absolute hell on earth through her child. Absolute hell on earth. Got, child's got issues. I believe the child has devils. That's just the way it acts and everything else. It'll sit on the ground and scream and do all these different things. You wonder why all this stuff goes on? He said, "Honor your father and mother that it may be well with thee." Wouldn't you like it to be well with you whenever you get older in age? I'm just telling you, when you get a teenager, you start thinking everybody's stupid. Everybody's an idiot. Mom and dad don't understand. Nobody understands. Let me tell you something. I'm about 23. I'm 23 years old. It wasn't too long ago I was a teenager. And I understand. I know what it's like to walk down the school halls and all you hear is a bunch of fornication. I know what it's like to walk down the school halls and all you hear about is how somebody got drunk and you sit at the lunch table and you can't have a pure thought because of everything that everybody's talking about. I know what it's like. Let me tell you something. You, even in the midst of that, you can do right, but it's got to be purposed in here. It's got to be purposed in there. And if it ain't purposed in here, you'll go out there and raise Cain like the rest of them.
That's right.
When it's not settled in your heart, you'll go raise Cain like the rest. But I know what it's like. Let me tell you something. I'm 23 years old. I can look at you and I can tell you today, there's a lot of stupid things that I said and did when I was a teenager that I wish I would have never said and done. A lot of things I said to my parents that I wish I would have never said. Maybe not things, you know, disrespectful. There's been a lot of stupidity things that I've hinted at it. And I've gotten mad at things they've asked me to do. Wish I'd have never done. You know, Brother Roy Anderson, man up there in Mount Airy, North Carolina. He's a preacher that we know's dad. I remember right before he died, I was sitting at his house and he told me this. He said that he looks forward to seeing his wife in heaven, but he said, "The two people that I look forward to seeing the most is my mom and dad.
my mom and dad, because they were so good to him. He said, I want to apologize to him for some things that I said and did.
That's what he said. How old was he? About 80? 82? He said, when I see my mom and dad, that's what I want to see, because there's some things that I said to them when I was a teenager that I should have never said.
He said, honor your father and mother. One day you'll thank God for your parents. One day you'll thank God for them. One of these days, you'll wish to God that you had them back. You'll wish to God that you had them. You wish to God that they were there with you.
Yes, sir.
And I know my dad. My dad, there's times when he weeps, wishing he could see his daddy again. His dad died a drunk. He died. There's days, wasn't a good man, wasn't always there for him. There's days that he weeps wishing he could see him again. Days that he wishes that he could call him up and say, hey, I have a job. I'd like you to come help me on this job. I just want you to be around me. Days that he wishes that he had that. Honor your father and mother. If you have a good mom and dad, you ought to honor them. There's people that are sitting in this building, they know what it's like not to have a good mom and dad, not to have a good home. They know what it's like. They know what it's like to go through hell as a child. If you've been raised in a good home, you ought to thank God for it. You ought to praise the Lord for it. You ought to go back home. Whenever you see your parents, they tell you to do something, you ought to shut your mouth and you ought to do exactly what they say. Because I can guarantee you this, they know a whole lot more about life than what you know. They just do. The problem is they won't shut their mouths. Mom and dad has something to say. We always have something to say back. Mom and dad has some wisdom to give us. It's always stupid. It's always far-fetched. It's always something that we don't want to do. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, you're a fool. And he said, a wise son will hear and will increase learning.
Yeah.
A wise son will hear and will increase learning. I don't care how crazy your mom and dad's got. There's some things you can learn from having a bad mom and dad. How not to do things. How not to treat your family. How not to treat your kids. How not to treat people. Tell my dad had to learn it. Tell my dad had to learn it. How not to treat your family. You'll learn things from them too. This is what he said. Go over to the book of Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verses 1 through 8. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they may be in the behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. That's what you young ladies ought to know how to do. To be sober. To love your husbands. To love your children. That's something that's not being taught in this generation. I'll be honest with you. If there's young ladies that are growing up in this church, some of you older ladies ought to be able to help some of these young ladies to understand how to take care of children. I have a little girl. I'll just say this. There's a whole lot that we haven't been taught that we wish somebody would have just sat there and taught us some things about how to do these, how to handle these things, how to take care of our child. You ought to be able to, some of you older ladies ought to teach them how to take care of their children, how to cook and how to clean, how to love their children, how to love their husbands. Something that don't happen anymore. The love for the husband goes both ways. Men ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church.
Right.
Women ought to love their husbands. Ought to love them. And he said this, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You ought to be discreet. You ought to be chaste. Chaste, you know, you see women in society that dress immodest. That's just a good picture that they're not chaste.
Yeah.
The way they talk, I know women that can talk so vulgar that it'll make you cringe.
I know women in my family. I have women that I've been associated with that talk so vulgar it'll make you cringe. And as a teenager, I remember people that I would come around, they just want to know if you've done things sexual with some girl or done something perverted. That's all they wanted to fill your mind with. But they're not chaste. Chaste. Being pure. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing like being married and being a virgin. Nothing like it. No. But you can be a virgin and not be chaste, and you can be chaste and not be a virgin. And the best thing that you could ever do is have both of them. Be chaste and be a virgin. Best thing you could ever do. If you're not a virgin, you ought to be chaste. Become chaste. He said, be keepers at home. Be keepers at home. Know how to take care of your children. Know how to take care of your children. Know how to cook. Know how to clean. Know how to do those things. That's something that's missing in America. That's one of the things that I look back on American history and say, I wish to God that we could go back to those days where we didn't fill the restaurants and we sat at home in tables and we talked with our children and we knew our children. We could put the cell phones away for just a few minutes to have a conversation, to actually know what's going on in each other's lives. There's times that we get caught up in it. I sell and I use my cell phone as an instrument to sell. But God forbid that I ever sit down in a restaurant or sit down in my house and I can't have a conversation with my wife or know my child because of my cell phone.
Amen.
God forbid that.
Yep.
He said, keepers at home. Y'all don't know how to cook, clean. And he said, young men, and he said this, that you ought to be obedient to your own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And I know most people don't like that. That's what the Bible says, that women ought to be obedient to their own husbands. Women ought to be obedient to their own husbands. And men, the men are going to have to give an account to God. The way their home is ran, the things that go on in their home. And some of you women, you think that you want to buck up and be the authority, but the man's going to have to give an account. You have to give an account to the man. Try being the man, giving an account to God. Try that. I'm telling you, it's a blessing on you. It's a blessing on you. You don't have to give an account in that sense as being the one that overlooks the home and pastors the home. And he said, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine. Young men ought to know doctrine, showing uncorruptness. You ought to have gravity, sincerity. You ought to be sincere. You ought to be honest when you deal with people. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Young men, you ought to talk right. Your conversation shouldn't be in the lust of this world. Shouldn't sit around and talk of the world and say the things that the world says. You ought to get in this precious word of God. And I tell you, I like people that whenever you're having a conversation, they're able to spit out Bible verses for it. The things that are going on. That's what you ought to do. You ought to have an understanding of the Bible. You ought to know the Word of God. You ought to talk about the Word of God. You ought to talk about good things. Those things which are good. Those things which are pure. Those things which are holy. Think on these things. Instead of all the things that are of the world. And talk about those things which are good. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to honor your father and mother. You ought to do it. You ought to do it. Why? It may be well with thee, that your days may be long upon the earth. I remember hearing somebody made a quote of Oliver Green. Oliver Green made a statement. He said that I will not live the full life that I could live because I was a rebellious young person. How old did he die? 57 years old? I think it was around 57. That's what I'd heard. 57 years old. He said I could have lived a lot longer, but I was disobedient to my parents. I raised so much Cain to my parents that I will not live a full life like I could. That's what he said. Let me tell you something. He said, honor your father and mother. You ought to do it. When they teach you, you ought to listen. When they tell you, you ought to listen. You ought to be obedient. I remember hearing stories about my dad's grandpa. He didn't tell you twice. He didn't tell you twice whenever he told you something and you didn't do it. He didn't tell you again. He just shot you with a shotgun is what he'd do, or he'd pick something up and he'd beat you over the head with it. You'd either get knocked out or you'd get shot, and you'd get shot in the rear running from him. But you wasn't gonna tell you twice. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not even joking with you. That's how he was. He didn't have to tell his kids twice. Didn't have to tell them twice. And he said, honor your father and mother. I have people in my family, they've lived up in their hundreds. Hundreds. The only thing I think about that is they must have honored their father and mother. It's been well with them. They've lived good lives. They've lived a long time. Bible said they honored their father and mother. He said this, that you ought to honor your husbands. Women ought to honor their husbands. What the Bible teaches, Ephesians chapter 5. I'm talking about the powers that God has put in our lives. God's done it. The world, the Antichrist, and everything else has tried to destroy this in the world. Tried to destroy this in America. Amen. Satan has tried, he's crept in and tried to destroy the home. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most precious things that you could ever have is peace in your home. And a home that is set in order and a home that is right. And it's the way the world's told women and told people that you submitting to a husband, he's just gonna be abusive to you, and he's gonna treat you like dirt. I tell you how you ought to treat your wives. You ought to treat her like she's the queen of the castle. That's how you ought to treat her, like she's a queen. You ought to treat her like she's the best thing that the best woman that there's ever been. You ought to treat her like she's the sweetest thing that there's ever been. You ought to compliment her. You ought to pick around with her. You ought to kiss her in public. You ought to do it. You ought to hug her. There's preachers that think that you shouldn't come to church and hug and kiss your wives. Ladies and gentlemen, our children ought to know that our husbands, the husbands love the wives. I remember I'd walk into my kitchen, my mom would be cooking something, or she'd be in there cleaning or doing something. My dad would walk in and he'd start grabbing her. I'm not going to tell you everything he'd do. He'd start kissing on her. He'd start hugging her and all this different stuff. But I knew my dad loved my mama.
Amen.
I knew that.
Yes, sir.
I knew that. I tell you, I like it. I've grown to lie. I used to not like it. I used to sit there and cringe and say, oh, goodness, please get out of here. I tell you now I look back and I thank God for it. Thank God for it.
Hey, learn to play the game.
He said, honor your husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He loved it and gave himself for it. That's something you have to deal with. He said, be not bitter against her. That's the thing you struggle with, because a lot of times women get crazy and everything else. You women out there, y'all get a little crazy from time to time. And I'm telling you, and it's just, I don't know, maybe we're the crazy ones. I don't know, but it just seems like y'all are the crazy ones because I'm a man. But he said, be not bitter. Be not bitter. Dale's already in a mess. He can't remember when he got married. I was sitting back there hoping, I hope to goodness that argument don't start while we're at their house. Hopefully they'll just hold on until Saturday. But husbands ought to love their wives. And the women ought to submit themselves to their husbands. They ought to submit themselves to their husbands. And I know there's been some pretty sorry men out there, and I've known women to submit to them. You say, well, my husband isn't worthy of it. I know a preacher, he just died this year. He's a great man of God. I'm telling you, influenced my dad probably greater than any man that he's ever known. He used to sit down and tell things to my dad. My dad would just sit there and glean from it. He's a blessing. He's been a blessing to me and my family. But that man, whenever he first got married, he was an ex-Marine, fought in Vietnam, I believe. He was a drunk. And, you know, his wife, she was a Christian, and she was trying to win him to Christ and all these other things. And there were some things that he would ask her to do that just wasn't right, and she'd submit to him. I'm not saying that's what you ought to do. I'm just saying that's what she'd do. He would say, I want you to go in there and I want you to get me a beer out of the refrigerator. And they didn't even have room in the refrigerator for beer. For food. She'd have to go store mayonnaise and her ham and all the different meats and stuff in the neighbor's refrigerator. And she'd go over there, you know, whenever she needed to cook a meal, go to her neighbor's refrigerator and bring it back in. She'd go in there and get him a beer, and she'd sit there and weep as she'd crack open that can and hand it to him. She'd weep as she did it. But eventually he got under conviction because of his wife. He got born again. You say, well, I shouldn't submit to who I'm under. He's just a piece of trash. He's just a wicked, ungodly person. There's been a whole lot worse. I know somebody in my wife's side of the family, he fought in World War II. He was a 3-time Purple Heart winner, fought at the Battle of the Bulge and all that different stuff. My wife's great-grandpa, wicked man. He has children, grandchildren over in France that we don't know who they are, but he has them over there. But just a wicked man. Beat his wife, everything else. But she always submitted to him, was kind to him. Say, well, I shouldn't submit to my husband. You could have it a lot worse. Could have it a lot worse. The Bible says you ought to be obedient to your own husbands. I'm not saying that because men ought to beat up on their wives. I'm not saying that because they ought to cheat on them. I'm saying that because you could have it a lot worse than what you have it. If you've got a man of God that's trying to do right, trying to love God, and trying to be faithful to the house of God, trying to be faithful to you, you ought to thank God for it. You ought to thank God for it. Thank God for it. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That's not my philosophy, and that's not any of these preachers' philosophy. That comes out of the Word of God.
Sure does.
Comes out of the Word of God. And the world's told you women and told people all these different lies. The devil's told people all these different lies about all these different things. And I understand not every situation is the same. And I understand people have different kinds of situations even in this building. But the Bible does say that wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Submit yourselves to them, because they are the authority in your life, and God put them there. God put them there. And could you imagine if you're just left to, you know, just run your own life? And some of you understand what it's like. You just sit around and run your own lives. You don't want anybody to control you. You don't want to bow down to any kind of authority. You don't want to submit yourselves to anything. You don't want to submit yourselves to a man. You don't want to submit yourself to the police. You don't want to submit yourselves to anybody that God has put in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, God put them there. God's the one who did that. And ladies and gentlemen, last but not least, the most important thing that you ought to honor is God. He is God. You ought to honor Him. The Bible says that you ought to fear Him. You ought to fear Him. Who was it? Habakkuk. He said, "Oh Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. I heard thy speech and was afraid. I've heard thy speech and was afraid." Let me tell you something. You ought to honor his preachers. You ought to honor his preachers. Brother McVeigh said it. You have probably, this church has probably had more light in it. And I'm not saying that I'm right, but as far as I know, and as far as my understanding, this church has had more light than probably any church I know of. Had more light. You have a preacher that preaches the Bible. You have a preacher that studies the Bible, and you are going to give an account. Lost people, you have had a preacher to preach the Word of God to you, to give you the Word of God. You are going to give an account with how you've handled that Word. I tell you, the best way to honor a preacher isn't with money. It isn't with fancy cars and wristwatches and brand new suits. It isn't with any of that. One of the best ways that you can honor a man of God, give him double honor, is to take heed to the things that he has preached and the things that he has said. Take it home and live it. Teach it to your children. Teach it to your grandchildren. Teach it to your family. And live it at home. That's the best way that you can honor the man of God. Live what he says. I know preachers that sit under the greatest men of God that have ever lived, probably in the whole entire world, sit under some of the greatest men of God. They are the wickedest people I've ever met. And I think, my goodness, how you've had such a great, wonderful man of God that's preached the Word of God to you, that has studied and prayed over you, and you don't care about anything that he said, and you totally disregard it. To live your own life, to do exactly what you want to do. Live against God. Best way to honor a preacher is to take what he says, study what he says, read what he says, listen to what he says. Take it to heart. Take it to heart. I'm just being honest with you. With all the preaching that has been done in this church, there's been enough preaching to bring on a revival that could change this county. There has been. If we would take heed to what's been said, if we would take heed to what's been said and done inside this building just this week, things Brother McVeigh preached last night about keeping our mouth shut, if we could do that, if we could take heed to just that, it would probably change our families. It would probably change this community. Yeah, right. I'm not talking about keeping your mouth shut about the gospel. I'm just your foolishness spewing out. Learn how to control that tongue. If you can't control your tongue, you can't control your body. You can't. If you can't control that, you won't control your body. That's one of the things with that woman that was a harlot in Proverbs chapter 7. Her mouth was smoother than oil. Mouth was smooth. She knew how to talk. She knew how to entice. She knew how to do all that. She couldn't control her mouth and she couldn't control her body. He said, I believe with all my heart that you ought to honor the preacher. And I believe with all my heart that you ought to honor his word. God's word, you ought to honor it. I tell you, we ought to thank God for it. We ought to read it. We ought to study it. We ought to take it to heart. We ought to believe what it says. We ought to believe what it says. Why? Because this is the authority. I don't believe that the pastor is the supreme authority of the church.
That's right.
I don't believe that. I believe the Word of God is the supreme authority of the church. What this Bible says, it don't matter, you know, opinions of people. It's what the Word of God says. That's the authority. I know people that you can't teach them the Word of God. You can't show them what the Word of God says. I believe that's because they're lost. Because whenever you get born again, you have the Holy Ghost that teaches you. And if you can't be taught anything, it's because you're probably not saved. But if you can't be taught, there's something seriously, seriously wrong with you. I know people that you teach them this Word, you try to show them the Word. They don't care about what it says. They're going to be stuck in their traditions. They're going to be stuck in their mindset. They're going to be stuck in what they think and their own opinions. They will not trust what the Word of God says. They will not believe what it says.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's real bad. I know it's probably bad up here. I don't know. I don't live up north. I'm not acquainted with the people a lot. I don't preach in a lot of churches up here, but I know down in the South, people get stuck in their ways and they won't change what they believe for nothing. Down here, down in the South, I don't know how it is up here. You can show them line upon line and precept upon precept. They will not believe it. There's some of you that will not believe it, will not believe what it says, will not believe what it teaches. And the sad thing is this, that you will not obey what it teaches. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why are you going to call him Lord? Whenever he says, this is what you should do, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and you go out and live your own life? You say, I'm your Lord and I'm your master. But the Bible says that you're servants to whom you obey, and whom you yield your members to obey, that servant is to the masters that you yield these members to, that is who you are a servant to.
Right.
What it is. You ought to honor God. You ought to honor God. He is the supreme authority. Ladies and gentlemen, He is the supreme authority of all the whole entire universe. Satan thinks he's going to set his throne above the throne of God. My Bible already told me what was going to happen to Satan. He's going to be cast into the bottomless pit, into the lake of fire and brimstone, and he will be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, God's the supreme authority. You're not going to stand before anybody else. You're not going to stand before any kind of man at the great white throne judgment, but you're going to stand before a holy God at the great white throne judgment. And he's going to be the supreme authority that when he sentences you and he says, depart from me, it's finalized, it's done, and you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire and brimstone. It's done. When he says, be cursed into everlasting punishment. He's the supreme authority. The Bible says that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody that's saved under the sound of my voice, you will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible said that your works are going to be tried as by fire. He said they'll be burned up by wood, as wood, hay, and stubble. Why? Because he's going to judge, I believe, based on the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. He's going to judge. He's going to judge based on your words, based on your deeds, what you've done as a saved person, the thoughts and intentions of your heart. I'm not sure if he'll judge you based on your sin that you've confessed to him, because that's gone. But he's going to judge you based on the thoughts and intents of your heart. He will judge you on that. And that's what God's into, the thought. Just, I'm not saying that it's happened here. I'm not saying that it's happened with anybody. Well, but there's been preachers. I'm sure that there's been preachers that have came to meetings that are good, godly men of God, that their intentions have been money. I'm sure that's happened. I'm sure that there's been church people that have done this, that, and the third, and, oh, man, I'm just spiritual. I want everybody to recognize me. I want everybody to see what I've done. That kind of stuff's going to be burned up. He said that if you be least, the least is going to be the greatest. Person that don't go out and flaunt it like a Pharisee, stands out on the street corners and gets everybody's attention and wants everybody to think that that's a spiritual person. That's the person that's going to be great. That's the person that's going to be great. But you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to stand there before God. You're going to give an account to the things that are done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. You'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll stand at the great white throne judgment. I'm telling you, you're going to stand before a holy God that is the supreme authority. And you're going to give an account to how you submitted to His authority. Whether it be through powers that He put on this earth, through the government, your husbands, your wives, how God told you to run your home. And I believe with all my heart that men ought to honor God in the way that they run their homes. They ought to honor God in the way they run their homes. I understand I have a lot to learn about that. I'm pretty dumb about it. And if any man would come to me and give me some kind of wisdom, I'd appreciate it. Because I've seen so many men out there that have tried to do the best they could and they just couldn't see the iniquity of their children. And I beg God that that never happens to me. If they go out and they live like hell, I hope at least I know it. I hope I know who they are. And that's what I pray. And I pray that my children, I pray that I would at least know how to raise my child. I'm telling you, Brother Asquith, Brother Dale, Brother Tim, any of you men, Brother Stetcher, Brother Hain, any of you men in here, any of you had anything to teach me, I'd appreciate it.
Amen.
I'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Tell you, we ought to know, men ought to honor God in the way they run their homes. That's how I want to be. I want to be a man that honors God in the way I run my home. I want to be a man that honors God in the things that I do. I don't want to be a man that's hateful and cantankerous and bitter towards my wife, or she lives like she's in some kind of fear of me or something else like that. I don't want to live like that, but I want my wife to have peace and have a happy home, and to love being at home and not to be hell to her. I want my child to grow up and understand the Bible. That's how we ought to be.
Amen.
That's how we ought to be.
God forbid that we not submit to the authority of God. The powers that be, they are ordained of God. The powers that be, they are ordained of God. Why? Because God put them there for us to submit to. For us to submit to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. I pray that you'd help us. Teach us your word, O God. Have mercy upon us. God, would you help us tonight? Help our homes.